Brethren in Christ, and we appreciate the privilege of fellowship, and we've enjoyed the lessons we've had this morning, both of them, concerning sacrificing and concerning the tabernacle arrangement. So we're going to continue in the same vein, only this time we're going to consider the plan of the ages. How some of these things are being accomplished in God's arrangement. So you should have a chart such as this. And this chart is taken, of course, from the first volume of Studies in the Scriptures. And our remarks are directed mainly at the younger ones, but we older ones are going to have to bear a little bit. So we'll be going over some things in a little simpler fashion, but nevertheless, not being a complicated individual myself, I appreciate the simple things because I can understand them a little more readily. God proposed in Himself, and before the foundation of the world, the great plan of the ages. And this is a great plan of redemption. Because He knew beforehand man's fall and the death penalty that He was going to impose. He knew this beforehand. So He made a plan to accommodate this contingency, because He was determined to have a human family in harmony with Himself. And we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 the following: in order that now may be made known to the governments and the authorities in the heavenlies through the congregation, the much diversified wisdom of God, according to a plan of the ages, which He formed for the anointed Jesus, our Lord. Now you'll notice probably that that didn't read just like the King James Version, but it's a translation that's similar to Rotherham translation and similar to the Dialogue. So if you look in those two translations, you will find words very similar to those which we just read. Now this chart handout that you have shows the progressive character of God's plan for the world along with the steps. Notice, not only for the world, but along with the steps necessary for anyone who would experience a change in nature. A change in nature from the human nature to the spiritual nature. This chart shows this plan or this path for both the world and those who seek a change in nature. Now the time covered by this chart from the very beginning to the end is 7,000 years. That's the whole period that's covered. And Bible students call it the epoch day, or the seventh creative epoch day. The creative days were each 7,000 years long, and there were seven of them, and this is the last one. And this was when God rested. This is the day on which God rested after creating man perfect in the Garden of Eden. We all remember that story. Let us examine the important features of this chart, or plan of the ages, as it is called. Now, starting at the top, if you look at the top of your chart, you will find three dispensations. Does everybody see those? Now, you're probably wondering what a dispensation is. I know I did. So I had to get my trusty Webster's Dictionary out to find out what it was, because I thought it was more than just a line drawn here representing a span of time. And sure enough, I found out that it meant a little more than just a span of period of time. And the dictionary tells us this. It is a specific period of time, notice, during which a particular revelation or knowledge of God's mind and will has been directly operating on mankind. You see? So it's not just the span of time, but it also indicates how God is working his mind and will on man. And we're going to see that when we cover these various dispensations and ages into which they're divided. So a dispensation has more than just time. It has also these activities of God with respect to man. The first dispensation, if you will look to the left of the chart on the upper part, is marked with a capital A. It is also called the world it was by the Apostle Peter in the second book of Peter, chapter 3, verse 16. And it lasted from the creation of Adam to the time of Noah and the flood. We all read about Noah and the flood. So we see that this was the span of time, and we're going to find out how God operated in that span of time. Now, the second dispensation is marked with a capital B, right to the right of that on the very top. And if you notice that, this dispensation is also called by different names. Jesus, in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 32, calls it this world, the world we're living in. So you see, Jesus called it this world. The Apostle Paul, in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, calls it the present evil world, because there's a lot of evil in it, you see. And because it's under the domination of the evil one, Satan. Now, this second dispensation begins at the flood, where the first one ended, and it begins at the flood and extends to the beginning of the Messianic, as it's called on the chart here, the Messianic Age, or we term it the Millennial Age. And this will be when Christ, the rulership of Christ, takes place at his second presence. So we have these two dispensations. One was called the world it was, the first one. The second dispensation, the world it now is. And, you know, it logically follows that there must be something to come. So that's what the third dispensation, marked with the capital C, is called. The new earth, or world wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's called this by the Apostle Peter in chapter 3, verse 13 of the second book of Peter. Now, this dispensation lasts from the beginning of Christ's reign and continues for many ages to come, as the Apostle Paul tells us in the second chapter of Ephesians and verse 17. Now, let's go back to this first dispensation with the capital letter A. And we find that this dispensation was operated, God was revealing his mind and his will through the angels, was under the control of angels who were permitted by God to try to recover or save fallen mankind. We get this from the Apostle Paul's remark in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 5, where he says, "Unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come." No, he put the first dispensation in the angels' care, but not the one that's to come. He didn't put it in the care of the angels. He's going to reserve that for his son. Now, the angels were not able to save mankind. In fact, man became so bad or wicked that God destroyed by the flood all human family then living except Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. So you see, there were only eight people that survived the flood. And during the present evil world, or second dispensation, B, God permits man to try governing himself. So here again we have the knowledge or revelation of God's mind and will in this way. He says to man, try to govern yourself. But because man has disobeyed God and lost favor with God, he came under the control of Satan. And what is Satan called? Well, he's called the prince of this world in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 31. This rulership of man under Satan will result in the greatest trouble the world has ever known. So he's not doing a very good job of it, is he? At least we can look around us and see that that is the case. And this proves that neither the rulership of the angels nor the rulership of man himself is able to save mankind from destruction. Now notice this second dispensation, B, is divided into three ages right underneath the big arch of the second dispensation. It's divided into three ages. The first age is called the Patriarchal Age, marked by the capital letter D. During this time, God was dealing with people who specially loved God and wanted to obey Him. They were called patriarchs. A patriarch is the head and ruler of a large family or tribe of people. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were patriarchs whom God specially recognized and worked with. This patriarchal age D began with the flood and continued to the time when the patriarch Jacob died. That constitutes the period of time of this patriarchal age. Now notice the second age, designated by the capital E, in the second dispensation, is called the Jewish Age. After the patriarch Jacob died, God began dealing with Jacob's 12 sons and their families who were called the Jewish nation. God called them His people, and He showed them special favors, and said unto them, Now therefore, if you will obey My voice, indeed, and keep My laws, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto Me above all people. For all the earth is Mine, and you should be unto Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So God had some special favors for this people, these 12 sons of Jacob known as the Jewish nation. So this was a really great favor that God bestowed upon them. In all of God's laws, in all of His promises, in all of their experiences of the Jewish nation, and all of God's dealings with them, what was God doing? Well, He was using them to make pictures or types, as they are called. Why? To show us how we may be a part in the plan of God to help in bringing back the world to perfection like Adam had when God created him and before he fell. In one of the pictures, for example, that God was making with this Jewish nation or people, they had Aaron as a high priest. And I think this was mentioned both by Brother Perry and Brother Kenneth this morning. So Aaron was a high priest. And he had his sons as under priests. That is, they were to help the Jewish people understand and do what God wanted them to do in order that they would get God's blessings. Aaron and his sons were a picture. They pictured Jesus as a high priest and his faithful followers as under priests. So you see, God was making pictures with these Jewish people. people for us. The Jewish age with the Jewish nation began when the patriarch Jacob died, and he lasted until Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a king just before he died on the cross. Now the next age in this second dispensation is called the Gospel Age, and it's marked by the capital letter F. Does everybody see that? During this age, God called or invited people to separate themselves from the world, to become under priests, and join with Jesus to help him remove the sins from mankind and bring them back to the same perfect condition as Adam was before he sinned. So there's an invitation extended here. And of course, if anyone is to join Jesus, they have to be like him. That's very logical, isn't it? And the Bible tells us in the first book of Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, that Jesus died for our sins that he might bring us to God. And it tells us he was put to death in the flesh as a human being, but then he was raised from the dead as a spirit being, like God is. So he had a change in nature, from human to the spirit nature. Not all of those whom God first called and chose proved faithful during this time. So God continues to look for others to replace those who are unfaithful. And God says that as a replacement, if we give up everything and follow Jesus faithfully now, he will also raise us after we die to be like Jesus and to be with him. This wonderful offer from God began with Jesus, when Jesus was baptized, and it will continue until the full number of under-priests are chosen and found faithful to complete his true church. And how many do you suppose there are in this true church? Well, besides Jesus, the Bible tells us there are 144,000 of them. So you see, if we are seeking God and want to enter into covenant relationship with him, that is, if we want to make an agreement with him to obey him and do all that he asks us, we too can have this opportunity to be an under-priest with Jesus. The third dispensation, marked with the capital letter C, will have many ages, but we only have definite information on the first age, called the Messianic Age, marked with the capital letter G. This age is also known as the Millennial Age, and it began when Jesus returned a second time as king, and it lasts for, how do you suppose, how long? 1,000 years. That's why it's called a Millennial Age. And it's called, why is it called the Messianic Age? Well, because Jesus and his church will be the Messiah. So therefore, it's called the Messianic Age. During this time, with Jesus with his under-priest will rule over and bless all the families of the earth, just as God promised Abraham that he would. This was a promise that God made to Abraham. You remember the words of God. He says, in thee and in thy seed, when he was talking to Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Sin and death will be done away with in this period of time, in this Messianic Age or Millennial Age, because we read in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, that Jesus shall rule until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death that was caused by Adam's sinful disobedience. Yes, there will be no sickness. There will be no sorrow. There will be no crying and no dying, because Jesus will make everybody and everything perfect, just like it was with Adam before he disobeyed God. Now, if we observe carefully, we will see that there is a period of time overlapping the Jewish age and the gospel age, and it's called a harvest. You notice this little arc that's overlapping those two ages, the Jewish age and the gospel age. This was a period of 40 years, which began when Jesus was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. And that is when he became a man at 30 years of age, or as we say in the year 30 A.D. A.D., if you are familiar with it, means Anno Domini, or the year of our Lord. This period of the harvest lasted until 70 A.D., 40 years later, when what is called the Jewish form of government, or Jewish national polity, was destroyed or done away with. Now, the word polity means a form of government, as we mentioned. And sometimes this government that the Jews had, because God appointed all of the rulers, is called a theocratic form of government, or a government that was controlled by God. Or sometimes you will hear Bible students call it a church-state government. In other words, a combination of the church and the state. Now, this harvest period was used to separate the Jews who believed in Jesus from the rest of the Jews. The Jews who believed in Jesus were given the opportunity to become under priests of Jesus. Now, notice too that there is a harvest period which overlaps the gospel age and the messianic age. That's another little arc that you see overlapping these two ages. Now, since God was using the Jewish age to make pictures, remember that's what we said, he was using these Jewish people to make pictures for us, this harvest, like the Jewish age harvest, is also a period of 40 years. And it began when our Lord returned as king, and we believe this was in the year 1874 A.D., and we believe it ended 40 years later in 1914 A.D. Now, that may have been before some of you were born. In fact, it was even before the time that I was born. So, it lasted for these 40 years, from 1874 to 1914. Like the Jewish age or harvest, this gospel age or harvest period was used to separate the true followers of Jesus from the false system known as Babylon or Christendom. Christendom were the nations who were following, claiming to follow Christ, were called Christendom, or they were the system known as Babylon. Babylon means confusion, as we found a lot of different claims within this system, conflicting claims. Now, this also, this Babylon, was a church-state system, a polity or system of government, and as we said, it came to an end in the year 1914. Now, let us consider the path which the world and the under-priests of Jesus must follow to reach their goals. On the chart, we have to the left of the first harvest period there. The capital letters K, L, M, N, P, and R. You see all these capital letters there? They're right at the ends of the lines or planes, as we call them. Each of these letters represents a plane, or we're going to state it in a little different way. A state or condition of existence, which we go from step by step along the pathway to the goal. Capital N is the plane of all justified human persons viewed from God's standpoint. Now, what do we mean by justified? Well, we mean one who is right with God, one who can approach God, you see, and you have to be in a certain condition to do that. And you must reach this plane end before we can approach or communicate or talk with God. Adam, as a perfect, justified human being, was on this plane before he sinned. Justified means right, and a perfect man is right, you see. So he was a justified person on plane N. After he sinned, he fell to the sinful plane indicated by the capital letter R. Can you find that on your chart? That's the very last or bottom line, and if you look to the extreme left of the chart, you will see the letter R. So that's the plane that Adam fell to. He fell from plane N to plane R. That indicates his fall. That indicates he sinned and lost the favor of God. Now, because we all were born as children of fallen Adam, we too were on plane R at the time of our being born. Every one of us, because we were born from Adam. So that's where we're starting from. We're starting from this plane R. And we're there at the time we're born. So everybody who is born of Adam starts on that plane. Now, the capital letter P represents something that might be unique to you. It is what is called typical justification. Notice we said plain N represent justification, but this is typical justification. And this means a standing which came as a result of their obeying God in His sacrificing of in His order for them to sacrifice animals under the Jewish law. See, God gave them a law, and He gave them certain things to do, and if they did them, God showed them His favor for 1 year. And that was called typical justification. So you see, God communicated with them on the basis of their being typically justified or counted. It was not an actual justification, and it only applied to the Jews. But it was counted or reckoned, as Bible students say, as such to show a type or picture again. God is, remember we said, God is making pictures or types with this Jewish nation. In the gospel age, you remember that's in the second dispensation, God is offering to those who are on plane N, those who are considered by God as justified, He's offering them the privilege of becoming an under-priest or spiritual being like Jesus is now. That didn't happen before because Jesus was the first one and He had to open up the way. So He did this in this so-called gospel age. Now, some may not want to accept this higher offer. Sometimes we are offered something and we don't want to take it. And that's what happens when somebody who is on plane N is offered and they refuse to step higher or to go to the next higher plane. But there are others who will love God so much that they will say to God, "What do you want me to do? in order that I can be changed from my human nature to a nature like Jesus has. And what do you suppose God tells them? Well, we find God's reply in the book of Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1. And if you have a Bible, we can read it together. If you can find it in your Bible, I will read it together. It reads like this. I beseech, or God is saying, I ask you, or I implore you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, your reasonable service. Now you ask, what do you mean to present ourselves as living sacrifices? What does that mean? Well, it means that we will use our lives not for ourselves, not for our friends, not for our family, not for the world, nor anything else, but for Jesus. We'll use our life to serve Him, because He gave His life so that we could be on plain end and communicate with God to find out what He wants us to do, so that we can have the privilege of becoming just like Jesus. Now, when we make an agreement with God to use our lives this way, God begins to work with us to develop us as spirit beings. He begins that process. Now we are represented on the plane, represented by the capital letter M, as in Michael, capital letter M, or as Bible students call it, the plane of spirit begettal. That is when the beginning of spirit life begins in us. Now, if we obey everything God tells us, we will eventually be like Jesus is now, a wonderful spirit being, and He is raised to plane L, which is the next plane up, you see. So we see the progress being made from plane to plane, and we're finally going to reach our goal. But there is still another plane shown on the chart, one with the capital letter K. That's the very top plane under these arches. And what does this mean? Well, it permits us to be with Jesus in His throne as King. Not only raised to be like Him, but now we're raised to be helpers or servants with Him and helping to bring mankind back to the condition that Adam had before he fell. Now, this is the highest position we can attain. And, of course, we will help bring mankind back to perfection from this great position that we will achieve. When Adam was created by God, he was perfect. He is shown on the chart as a small, complete pyramid with the little letter A on plane N. If you look on plane N and look to the very adjacent space to N, you'll find a little pyramid. And notice it's a perfect pyramid, and it indicates Adam in his perfect creative existence. When Adam disobeyed God in sin, the chart shows him and his family on the incomplete or imperfect pyramid with the small letter B on plane R. Notice that pyramid doesn't have a point on it, so that shows it's not a perfect pyramid. It's an imperfect one. In fact, if you're interested in engineering, we would call this a frustum of a pyramid, one with the top cut off, you see. Now, if you look closely, you will see another small pyramid on plane N in the patriarchal age. Does everybody have that? This pyramid is identified with the small letter C. and it represents Abraham and the other patriarchs that we talked about. You see, they were justified. They were counted as justified friends of God. Why? Because they believed and had faith in God, and they obeyed God. Whatever God told them to do, they did to the best of their ability. Now I'm sure we all remember how God caused the flood to come and destroy all the wicked people except Noah and his family. We mentioned that previously. Now the people after the flood, notice this, the people after the flood, with the exception of those like the patriarchs and others on Plain End, were not friends of God. No. And they are shown on the chart as the incomplete pyramid with a small letter D. And this is on plane R. So if you look on plane R, you will see the world on the depraved plane, unjustified. So they're not justified when they're on plane R, so therefore God is not communicating or dealing with them. The Jewish nation, used by God, as we said, to make pictures that show how God deals with those who want to get to plain N and higher, is shown as the imperfect pyramid with the small letter E, just below plain N on plain P. Did everybody find that? Notice it's still an imperfect pyramid. When Jesus came and offered himself in sacrifice, there was no longer a need for Jews to sacrifice animals to have God's favor. No, because Jesus came and sacrificed as the Lamb of God. So, plain P ends at the cross, which represents Jesus' sacrifice, along with those who would follow him. So, therefore, the plain P ends there, because Jesus came and there's no need for the sacrifice of these animals, because Jesus now was crucified. God made the people of the Jewish nation and their leaders who did not accept Jesus, he made them go through a time of trouble, very severe trouble, because they rejected and crucified Jesus. Now this trouble is shown on this chart too. This trouble is shown on the chart as the shaded area with the small letter F just below plain N under the harvest of the Jewish age. Now, let's go back in time and think that Jesus was created by God as a perfect spirit being. You remember the Bible tells us he was the first creation and only begotten of God. And he was with God, and he helped God create everything else. The heavens, the earth, the angelic angels, the hosts, everything. So Jesus was with God, and of course, to be with God, he had to be a spirit being. When man disobeyed God, his punishment for disobedience was death forever. You know, God said, if you disobey me, you're going to die, and that means you're going to be dead forever unless somebody could pay the price to buy you out of death, you see. So Adam and all of us would be dead forever if somebody didn't pay the price to buy them out of death. Now, what did God require as a price? Well, he wanted the same thing that Adam was before he sinned, the perfect man. And he wanted a perfect man to give his life for Adam. Before he could release him and his children from death. Now, nobody could be found who was perfect because Adam didn't give perfection to his children because he didn't have it. He fell from that position. So he couldn't give it to any of his children. So nobody could, of the human family, could offer the price. But what do you think happened? Well, Jesus, who was a perfect spirit being, offered to leave his position with God as a spirit being, and he became a perfect man in order that he could give his life and release Adam and the human race from death. So you see, Jesus was perfect. He never lost his perfection. He became a perfect human being. So now he was the exact price that God required for Adam, a perfect man. At the age of 30 years, under the Jewish law, Jesus became this perfect man. He had to wait until he became a man under the Jewish law. Now this is shown on the chart by the pyramid with a small letter G on plane N next to the cross on plane M. Everybody see that? He then presented himself to God and indicated his obedience to God as a sacrifice. How did he indicate this? By his baptism in the River Jordan by John. God showed his acceptance of Jesus by filling him with his Holy Spirit and power. And how was this shown? Do you remember the story? Well, it was shown by a dove. A dove which rested upon Jesus as he came up out of the water. Now, this was the beginning of a new and higher spirit nature for Jesus. You see, he was begotten of the Spirit. And this beginning is shown on the chart as a step up from plane M, which we said Jesus was on, indicated by that perfect pyramid G there, that little one. And this was a step up from plane M to plane M, M as in Michael. So it is shown with the small H on plane M, small H. In the pyramid, the perfect pyramid on plane M. Does everybody see that? So how long was Jesus on this plane? Well, we believe it was for 3.5 years until he died on the cross. Then after being dead for 3 days, he was raised to life, no more like a human being, but now he was raised as a spirit being. Yes. This is represented by the pyramid with the small letter I on plane L. So you see, we're gradually going higher and higher and higher. Our goal to get to plane K is what we want. 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, he went to plane K, which you remember we said was the plane of power and great glory of Jesus as King under God. Now, how is this indicated on the chart? This is indicated by the pyramid with the small K, which is located on the plane with the capital K. During the Gospel Age, Jesus was on this plane of power and great glory while he was selecting his church. The steps of the church, or those who would want to become under priest or have a change in nature, to this position of glory is the same as they were for Jesus. The same steps we have to follow. The only exception is that the church starts from plane R, while Jesus started from plane N. Why? Because he was always perfect. You see, and we were not. So we started from a lower plane. We don't know how long it will be after plane L is reached before the true church has a full and complete number of 144,000 will be united with the Lord in this power and great glory, represented by a pyramid with a small W on plane K. Notice that pyramid W is indicated there in the harvest between the Gospel Age and the Jewish, or the Messianic Age. So So we have to take the same steps that Jesus took. Now you may not fully understand that what we're going to say here, but bear with me and try to see what this means. We understand that the full glorification, that is going to glory to be like Jesus, of the whole church, the 144,000, we understand this to be the completion, or as we sometimes call it, the finishing or consummation of the marriage between the true church and Jesus. And this is called entering into the joys of her Lord fully and completely. Now notice that there is an incomplete pyramid within the Gospel age which contains the small letters N, M, P, and Q. That's this frustum of a pyramid that we see there in the Gospel age. Now these letters represent four groups of people who claim to be of the true church, but not all of them really are. Looking closely, we see the small letter N and M right at the top of that frustum of a pyramid. These groups are on the spirit plane M. And you will remember that this is the plane called the plane of spirit begettal, the plane where God gives us His Spirit and begins to work with us to develop us as spirit beings. Now these two classes have existed throughout the Gospel age, these two classes or groups. The difference between these two groups is that N class, as in Noah, are those who are faithfully and joyfully and willingly doing everything that they agreed with God to do. And for their faithfulness, they will get to be with the Lord Jesus in His throne of glory on plain K and be known as the Bride of Christ. That's what they will be called. The M class, on the other hand, don't do everything faithfully and willingly that they agreed with the Lord to do. And because of this, this class will not be with the Lord on plane K, but will advance only to plane L. And it has a name. In the Bible, it is called the Great Company class. Now the class represented by the small letter P are the greatest in number of these four groups or classes. And you will notice that they are not on plane M, but they are shown on plane N. Why is this? This is because they have faith in Jesus as their Redeemer, but they do not accept God's offer to come to a higher plane. So they stay there, and we'll see what happens to them a little later. Now, the last of these four groups or classes is represented by the small letter Q. Now, these do not believe in Jesus as a sacrifice for their sins, so they are not even on plane M. They belong to plane R as part of the world. Now, the harvest time, notice between this Gospel age and Messianic age, this harvest time is the time for separating these classes or these groups. As the Bible says, the good wheat or the N class will be separated and is shown by the small incomplete pyramid with the small letter S, and it has an arrow attached to the top of it or adjacent to it. What does this indicate? This indicates that this group is on their way to join the Lord Jesus and share in His glory. And this is shown by small letter, by the pyramid with the small letter W on plane K. So now, how is our time running, Brother?
About 10 minutes.
Yeah, we got a good 10 minutes.
Okay. Just about right. Now, when our Lord Jesus returns, or as we call it, the second advent, or when he returns the second time, it's shown by the small perfect pyramid with the small letter R on the spiritual plane L. You see, this is when he came back in the second advent or second presence. Now, the groups represented by the small letters T, U, and V, who claim to be of the true church but are not, are shown being separated and shown for what they are during a time of trouble, shown by the capital letter S in the shaded area around them. In other words, they're going to be found out that they're not really a part of the true church, or they're not really the under priests of Jesus, or striving to be the under priests of Jesus to the best of their ability. So they're going to go through trouble, and this trouble is going to show them where they stand. They're going to pieces. The time of trouble will prepare the world for the rulership of Jesus and the church. The Jewish nation Israel will eventually be restored and will be the chief nation on earth, into which all of the mankind will be gradually melted in or drawn into. Their restoration, their restoring to favor with God, as well as that of the world, will be gradual. And it will require the whole 1,000 years, or the millennial or messianic age, to accomplish. Now, during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign, the death resulting from Adam's fall will be eliminated. Won't that be a great thing? People won't die anymore on account of Adam's fall. No, they'll only die because of what they themselves willfully do. So death on account of Adam's disobedience will be done away with. Won't have that anymore. In the end of the Messianic Age, the great pyramid of our chart will be complete. Notice there is a perfect pyramid there under this Messianic Age. This big pyramid includes everybody, except those indicated by the lower black section there, called the second death. So in this pyramid, this perfect pyramid with the perfect top, Jesus and his church, or under priest, are shown by the small letter X on top of the big pyramid, and they will be the head of all things, because they're really at the top, or the head. You see, Jesus and his church are the rulers. Next to them will be the great company, who are perfect spirit beings on plane L, and represented by the small letter Y in that big pyramid. Then next under them, the great company will be restored, will be the restored nation of Israel on the perfect plane M. Notice this is the perfect human plane M. Then comes the world of mankind, represented by the capital letter W, lifted up to life just like Adam had before he sinned. Perfect. Now all of this will be accomplished in a gradual fashion during this 1,000 years. Those who during this time refuse to obey Jesus and his church will be put to death forever. And this is represented as the second death under the big pyramid in that black section. For those who have come to understand the plan of the ages, recognize it as given from God, not generated by man, not by man's mind, but by God's mind. It is of divine or God-like origin. And it is a key to the mysteries of God, which God Himself has provided. God provided this plan. It wasn't man, it was God. And for which we give Him all the praise, we give Him all the thanks. Yes, because He has shown us what He is doing. We have the promise, as recorded in the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 37, that He would feed His church with the meat in due season. And this meat, of course, is the spiritual food that this new creature, or the change in nature creature, is going to feed on. And God promised that He would give this meat in due season. So the God-given plan of the ages is what we should all use in the study of the Bible if we are to get the treasures that are in them, if we are to get God's mind and will and wisdom, if we are to get God's grace and strength in our time, which He has provided it for. So we hope that you have a little better understanding of this plan of the ages, and that you go home and you take your first volume and you read the chapter on the divine plan of the ages and look at the chart in the back, and you will see what God is doing. Now you will notice, we're just going to mention this in passing, that this very same things that we said are shown in this. If you see this picture on the right, it's called the Tabernacle of the Wilderness. And when you get farther along in your studies, you will find that this tabernacle in the wilderness shows exactly the same things that we have been saying concerning this chart of the ages. So when you get the opportunity, you should read about that tabernacle so that you will have an understanding of what God is actually doing. That is the picture. See, God gave this tabernacle to tabernacle in the wilderness to the Jews, and it shows the picture, the same picture that the plan of the ages shows. And that's very logical, because He was making this picture or type to show that. And you'll find that it does that exactly. So we're going to stop there. And may the Lord add His blessing. And the next time you get to study the chart of the ages, why, it might be a little more familiar to you.
Thank you, Brother Gorgas, for that chart talk for us. I'm sure we all were refreshed on what that chart's about now again. There's so many pictures in it. And if you take your time and put that tabernacle in it and read that inscription under that tabernacle, it'll tell you what the court pictures, what the holy pictures, and what the most holy pictures. And Brother Gorgas said the same as the chart, only in the tabernacle it's progressive. The gate is our Lord. You labor and you learn what that's all about, and so on. But it teaches the same plan. That's the plan of God, so they have to be the same. It can't be different. Okay? Our closing hymn will be 42. 42, our closing hymn. Thank you, Brother Gorgas.